This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Harvard University appearing in federal court Monday, challenging the $2.5 billion in federal research money President Trump has pulled from Harvard's budget. Kristen Weld, president of the American Association of University Professors, speaking outside the court, says it's an attempt at government control of the nation's oldest and arguably most prestigious university.
The government wants to tell students what they can and cannot learn, what questions they can and cannot ask, who they can and cannot aspire to be.
The Trump administration says the funding cuts are due to a change in federal priorities. The nation still shocked at the death of Malcolm Jamal Warner, the best known for playing the Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show. He was caught in a rip current while swimming off Costa Rica. The former Louisville police officer convicted of violating Breonna Taylor's civil rights, sentenced to 3.5 years in prison. The Justice Department had asked for a one-day prison sentence. This is ABC News. The Trump administration has released hundreds of thousands of files related to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., despite his family's objections, his children asking the public to view the records and, quote, their full historical context. They had been under seal since 1977. Pet shelters across the country are feeling the crunch. ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
For the first time in its 30-year history, New York's largest animal shelter has now suspended the intake of pets. Officials say one-third of the cases where animals are being surrendered can be blamed on the pet owner facing housing insecurity. And in California, shelters say immigration raids are adding to the crisis, with farm workers and other people concerned about deportation now surrendering pets, including everything from chickens to goats.
Pepsi is going prebiotic. The soda giant has taken the wraps off a version of its classic Pepsi that for the first time includes prebiotics. It's also made with cane sugar, no artificial sweeteners. The new version of Pepsi will be available this fall. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought They did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A shutout in Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers with a 6-0 shutout win over the Seattle Mariners. The crew held hitless until the top of the sixth when Joey Ortiz got on base, then slid into home plate. FanDuel Wisconsin.
Contreras, a high fly into right. Ortiz back to tag. Canzone under it, makes the catch. Here's the throw home. Ortiz slides. He's safe. 1-0 Brewers on the sack fly by Contreras.
Ortiz kicking off a 4-run inning. Pat Murphy.
Then Terang, and then Contreras sack, and then Yelly base hit, and then Churio missile, and Collins walk. I mean, that's 7 quality at-bats in a row. That's what you have to do. You got to stack them. That's how you get crooked numbers, if you stack them. And yeah.
So for now, Milwaukee has the best win-loss record in baseball and one game ahead of the Cubs. They lost 12-4 to the Royals at Wrigley Field. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of isolated thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. It's going to be muggy today with a high near 90 and a heat index near 100. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. It's going to be hot and humid tomorrow with a high near 94. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tomorrow, Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom talks about his new daily newsletter, Below the Beltway, tracking Congress and all things happening in D.C.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I've been trying to learn sheepshead for 40 years. My father-in-law is still a card counter, knows what everybody has. It is so easy to go, oh gosh, I still don't know who the partner is. And is that a trump card or is it not? And so I'm still asking myself all these questions while they're busy taking all of my nickels. The one thing that got me where they allow me to play is getting the app. For all the technology that's out there, that is one of the positive notes.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks outside the box and hates cliches, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I am Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this Monday night as we kick off Act Two here. If you missed the first hour, my guest and is still my guest, John Roach, is here. We talked about his movie, A Road at Night, a great watch. We'll get back into that in just a second. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite junk food? It is National Junk Food Day, and we are asking people to tell us, share with us, the food you cannot say no to, even though you know that you should. We've had some great answers, so be part of the show and chime in and let us know what your favorite junk food is. I will be here in Madison all week, folks, live from Civic Media headquarters here. Conrad is holding down the fort back in Green Bay. And in the second hour here, in just a few minutes, we'll have Rocker from Max Inc. Radio, the award-winning Max Inc. Radio, will be here in studio. We'll be talking about Atwood Fest, which takes place this weekend on the East Side. Good food, great music, and some cool East Side vibes. We'll talk to Rocker in just a bit. Right now, I'm excited to get back into my interview here with John Roach. He's a producer, a writer, and a director. His film, A Road at Night, we just talked at length about, although not enough about. And we're going to jump into some talk about a film he wrote called The Straight Story. He co-wrote it with Mary Sweeney, and David Lynch directed it. So what a thrill that must have been, John.
It was tremendous. You know, I always say the adage is be nice to the girl who sits next to you at Catholic grade school, because it, you know, in the very early goings, Mary was the moving force, you know?
Yeah.
And as someone who, you know, wrote a lot, to write a screenplay with an editor, that is a really good idea, because Mary had the understanding of structure. I mean, she's a good writer too, but she had the understanding of structure and flow and when to let it breathe. And, you know, we wrote the first draft, the first scene outline, the first draft in Mary and David's compound in the Hollywood Hills. And I would get up in the morning, and, you know, I was on Midwest time and I get up early in the Midwest. So right. I was up at 4:30 having coffee at the Sunset Marquee while all the vampires were coming in off of Sunset. And then I'd get up to Mary's place, you know, at 8-ish, I don't know. And then we would write all day. And the great thing about writing in David Lynch's artistic compound is there's always good coffee available. And, you know, we were just jamming on coffee. And I think we wrote for 8 days straight. And we did a survey of Iowa prior to that. We had notes and research and all. And, and it was just, you know, it was as great an artistic experience as you could have as some guy from Wisconsin. You know, we premiered at Cannes. You know, my wife and I walked up the red steps.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was a joy to, you know, it was a joy to see David work. You know, he just brought out the best in everyone, Mary and myself included.
I can't even imagine. All right, so The Straight Story, for those of you who don't know, before I knew it was about a person named Straight, I used to call it The Straight Story, or The Straight Story, once I knew it was about Richard Farnsworth's character, Alvin Strait, it's The Strait Story.
Right, so, that is the correct pronunciation.
Yeah, so it's this great movie that was shot in Iowa and Wisconsin around 1999. If you haven't seen it, Richard Farnsworth plays the lead actor who drives a tractor from Iowa, because he doesn't have a driver's license, to Wisconsin to visit his ailing brother. Just this movie, he was Oscar nominated.
He was nominated for Best Actor.
Yeah.
He lost to Kevin Spacey for American Beauty.
God, I bet people would love a redo on that one. God.
Yeah. He did win Best Actor for the Independent Spirit Awards, though, so okay. That was nice.
And he was nominated for the Golden Globes, too, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah,
So this movie is packed with charm and heart and great acting. Sissy Spacek is in it. Harry Dean Stanton, Chris Farley's brothers. I didn't
Kevin
catch that
Johnny.
The first time. Yeah. I was like, Farley, wait a minute. So this is just such a fun movie, and I just rewatched it over the weekend. It totally holds up. Did David Lynch commission you guys to write this, or was it your idea that you took
Mary
to him?
No, Mary and I wrote it on spec. Mary had been editing in Hollywood for, you know, over a decade, I think. She was an assistant editor on Warren Beatty's Reds. She was an assistant editor on Blue Velvet and said, hey, I'm working on this film with this guy named David Lynch, and hold on to your hat. And then she became an editor on Twin Peaks. At the same time, I was producing in Chicago and eventually developed my own. I was at ABC and CBS in Chicago and eventually did specials for the CBS-owned stations, and then developed some of my own programming for syndication, of which one of them was one you like, the Sports Writers on TV. And Mary came to visit me when I was doing broadcast work, you know, and she was going, wow, everything happens really fast here compared to a movie.
Yeah.
But Mary called me. Being an editor can be tedious work. And I think Mary wanted, I know, she wanted a broader stance. She wanted a broader skill set. So she said, do you want to write a screenplay with me? And I said, of course. Yeah, why not? And I had dabbled in it prior.
But you're this producer of TV in Chicago.
Right.
Were you guys that good of friends where she just knew you'd be a sharp writer in a totally different medium?
Well,
or
we
had
were
you
these,
done
you know, we, it was strange because we were friends, you know, in a time where, you know, boys and girls didn't always have friendships.
Yeah.
You know, the guys ran. But also our families were friends for generations.
Okay.
So we, you know, my dad knew her dad, and I played ball with her brothers in high school. So, you know what? We're both townies. We were both townies in Madison. And again, you know, West Side Irish Catholic, everyone knew each other, you know?
Okay.
And so, and I do think we were friends, as it turned out, because we both went into a similar field later in our lives, you know, even though it's kind of a high school jock, I was also in the high school plays. You know, I always had that artistic side going on. So, she said, do you want to write a screenplay? I said, sure. I said, what are we going to write it about? And she goes, let's let it simmer. And I may be wrong, but I think within 3 weeks, she faxed me. This was during the era of fax. The internet was just starting to get its legs underneath it. This story in the Washington Post and New York Times about this old man riding his lawnmower across Iowa to see his brother. And I drove out to his endpoint, you know, and just kind of soaked up the vibes. And I said, Mary, yeah. And both Mary and I, you know, when you grew up in Wisconsin, when we did, you're literally 5 minutes from a farm field.
Right.
And so that rural lifestyle and those rural people, Mary's dad, Vince, was one of three or four Irish brothers who grew up on a farm in Oregon, the city of Oregon outside of Madison.
Okay.
And they were Irish farm boys. So, and I worked on farms baling hay.
Really?
To get in shape for high school football for 3 summers out in Barneveld for the good Bunbury family. So,
jeez.
So this was the people we were writing about were not strangers to us all. And we talked about our dads a lot because Alvin was a man of another generation, but it was the generation from whence our fathers came.
John Roach is my guest. He is the co-writer of The Strait Story that he wrote with his pal Mary Sweeney, very talented editor, producer, and writer, and was directed by David Lynch. It's a must-see, folks. If you know, everybody is looking for content to watch, and this film came out in 99. It holds up. I just watched it. Two things I have that really I just love about the film, and it's one of a younger person that Alvin encounters on his journey from Iowa to Wisconsin on a John Deere tractor, says
riding more.
Yes. He says, what's the worst thing about being old? And Alvin, I'm paraphrasing, says that I can remember when I was young.
The worst thing about getting old is remembering when you were young.
That is so.
And you know,
resonant.
I handed that line, and I used to. I have a cabin up in the North Woods,
yeah,
outside of Minocqua, and I had this vivid dream. I mean, you know, we both wrote. You know, we both wrote the screenplay, but I remember the feeling of that line. I never sleep anywhere other than in a bed. I don't sleep on planes. I don't sleep in cars. You know, but somehow when we built this little cabin up north, we had this green leather chair. We have no TV. You know, we have quiet music and books. And I would sometimes fall asleep in that chair, not at bedtime. And I would have these, you know, moments where I was kind of dreaming and kind of awake. And I remember having one dream where all of a sudden I really felt like I was 18 years old again. And when I woke up, you know, I was 48. And I felt sad about that.
Yeah.
And I just remember that feeling, you know, right. To remember when my legs worked.
I can't go out and just run around for no reason.
I remember when I would run across a football field and feel like I was flying.
Yeah.
Right. And now, you know, getting out of a chair is a big ass deal.
You're going to pay the price. The other thing, there's another great scene too, which is really the gist of what Alvin's been dealing with his whole adult life since World War II, because he's a veteran in the film, is the story he tells another veteran at the bar. And I don't want to spoil it.
Right.
But what a beautiful bit of acting by Richard Farnsworth. Oh. And the story came out of nowhere. So I tip of my hat for you guys, because it all starts with the script. As great as David Lynch was, and he was phenomenal.
Unbelievable. God rest his soul.
Yes.
As they say, as the Catholics would say, may perpetual light shine upon him.
But you can't, I don't care how great a director is or a producer or an actor. I mean, an actor to some degree that can improv a show and be entertained.
Yeah, yeah.
But it all starts with the script, and you guys crushed it.
Okay, so I would argue, aside from the Academy Award nomination for Richard, and you know, Mary and I got nominated for Best First Screenplay, and we lost to Charlie, whatever his name is, who wrote Being John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah.
Which, so that's a worthy opponent,
wow,
right?
Yeah, no kidding.
And I think the most powerful thing for me, and I knew David. I mean, I was, you know, more than just an acquaintance with him, because he and Mary would summer in Wisconsin. I'd take him golfing.
So were they married? Or just
they were
significant others?
Yeah, significant others.
For
and
how
they had
long?
A child together, Riley.
Oh, okay.
For well over a decade.
No kidding.
But the thing that I feel, and I said this to Mary, I think the most important thing or most powerful thing we did through that whole thing is we wrote a screenplay that turned David Lynch's head. And by the way, looking at that screenplay and that subject matter, people have to accept this as truth, because neither Mary nor I thought Dave would have anything to do with this project.
Yeah, right.
At all. It was, I sometimes think that Mary liked the project because it was unlike the stuff she'd been doing with David.
Right.
Right? And it couldn't been simpler. And David said, you know, the emotion is what appealed to him, you know, and it's, you have to remember too, David grew up close to the country. You know, he grew up in Montana. He was an Eagle Scout. He went to art school in Philadelphia and was amazed by how freaked out he was by that urban environment. But David was not, and look where Twin Peaks is set, you know, a mountain town in the Northwest. So that's a milieu that he was not uncomfortable with, right? I mean, I think that spoke to him in his youth.
It's interesting because Twin Peaks, we just have about a minute left, unfortunately, John, but it's so different because The Straight Story is shot kind of like an indie film. And you talk about an editor letting it breathe.
Oh.
The whole movie breathes.
Yeah.
It's like one deep breath. It's beautiful. But Twin Peaks is every shot is like a painting.
Yeah.
They're so different. Like, that's a testament to David Lynch.
Also, Angelo Badalamenti's score for The Straight Story is a thing of beauty. It is just so beautiful.
All right, we're going to have to save our sports writers talk for next time.
Next,
there's always something we kick down the road.
We'll talk about it next time, and we'll light up some cigars.
I know. My kindred spirit here, John Roach. Thank you, sir. Always
AP,
fun. We'll do it again.
Great seeing you, and let's have a beer.
Did my movie line make the poster?
Yes.
Yes. All right. I'm very excited about that. All right. John Roach, he'll be back, folks. I almost said round of applause, but it's just Rocker here. And even if he clapped for you, we wouldn't hear him through the glass. But and keep us posted about A Road at Night, too.
We'll do
all right,
for
fantastic.
Sure.
Fantastic. Rocker is coming up next, folks. We're going to talk Atwood Fest. Don't go anywhere and send us your texts. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The U.S. Department of Justice sent letters to 12 secretaries of state requesting their complete voter records as part of President Trump's executive order on elections. The reason for the request isn't completely clear, nor is the legality of such a request, which may violate the privacy and free speech rights of U.S. citizens. Back in May, we reported that DOJ requested records on Colorado's 4.65 million registered voters. To date, similar letters have been received by Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Minnesota, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. An email sent to Rhode Island officials asked to collect, quote, voting information as part of the department's efforts to implement President Trump's executive order preserving and protecting the integrity of American elections, unquote. It goes on to request a discussion on sharing information to find illegally registered voters, fraudulent voters, and enforcement of federal law. New Hampshire Secretary of State declined, citing state statute keeping voter rolls, quote, private and confidential. In addition to the Herculean logistics of such a request, Loyola Marymount Law School's Justin Levitt writes that such requests may not be legal under the Privacy Act of 1974, prohibiting the federal government from obtaining information on free speech activities, including voting and other personal information. We've linked the DOJ letters at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Folks just deserve a little bit better than the usual promises that they're getting. But our members of Congress, two of them from here in Wisconsin, recently signed a letter to Canada and said, Canada, you're on fire. You need to do something about this, which is really not necessarily the best course of action when your neighbor's house is burning down is to send a letter complaining about the smoke.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Jamming through a Monday night here, live from downtown Madison. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite junk food? It's National Junk Food Day. Anna from Madison, I wish I had seen this, from the 608, says, John Roach is always a great guest. I miss his back page column he wrote for Madison Magazine for many years. Thank you, Anna. Thank you for listening. And yeah, John is a multi-talented guy, to say the least. John Murray in Madison says, Neapolitan ice cream sandwiches, four at a time. Okay, four in a row. Wrappers are always a hassle. It's like I'm reading my own text here. I totally agree with you, John. You get the cookie part on your fingers and you can't get the wrapper off, but they are delicious. John says, shredded paper teas. Well done. Our pal Chris Casper says, Ripple chips and cottage cheese. That is not one I was expecting to hear. Cottage cheese. Cottage cheese actually is kind of good for you, right? I don't know. Thank you, Chris. And Steady Eddie from the 608 says, Pete, I saw The Straight Story when it first came out. Thanks and congratulations to John Roach and all who were involved in making it. Favorite junk food, pint of vanilla ice cream with a side of potato chips. Conrad, have you ever heard of that?
You know, I've heard more of like ice cream with French fries.
Yes, I've heard of that too. I don't get the potato chip thing is weird.
I guess that's kind of the same thing, just not potato-y as
how you like
fries.
Your potato, I guess.
Yeah.
Monica from Mount Horeb says, I believe you're on State Street. Anytime I go to the Overture Center, I go to Kilwin's across the street and get a sea salt caramel covered Oreo. You might be tempted to sell a family member for them. They're delicious. Monica, I don't know if that means you're not close with your family or they're just that good, but either way. Thank you for the text. Rosemary from Eleva. Hey, Rocker, do you know how to say this? Eleva? Oliva? Does that sound familiar?
No.
Elva?
Elvium?
Elvia. Elva. Oliva. Eleva. I don't know. She says, Pete, about 10 miles east of Hayward off Highway 77 is a Farnsworth Lake and Farnsworth Road or Drive. Coincidence for your movie? That's a great question. And again, I wish I would have seen that when John was here. We could have asked John that. But and then earlier, we got a text from, I didn't want to miss this one. Helen from Wanakee says, we were talking about wieners before and how people refer to hot dogs as wieners. She says, old story about two nuns coming here from their old country. They stopped in New York and wanted to get some street food, so they got two hot dogs. The one opened hers and said, sister, check out what part of the dog you got. Conrad, can we read that on the radio? Seemed a little obscene. Thank you for the text. All right. It is my pleasure now. We're going to pivot to some music talk here. There's this great festival here in Madison every year, the Atwood Music Festival. And I have the creator and the organizer and the all things Atwood Music Festival here in the studio. Rocker joins me live in studio. Hey, buddy. How are you?
What's happening, Pete? Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here, dude.
Well, let me just start, though, by saying that I'm one of the organizers. There are a whole bunch of
takes
people
a village, yeah,
who put that on, right? But my main thing is that I'm from the stages back. So stages, artists, booking, stage management, MC, that's me.
It's a ton of work, however you look at it, but
it is.
To you and all your compadres, just this is so exciting. So for people listening around the state that might be up for a road trip or might not be as familiar with Madison, tell us about the Atwood Music Festival.
Well, we are really fortunate this year to have been voted Madison's best music festival 2 years in a row now.
That, geez.
And so the Atwood Summerfest, it was originally called, started up in the early 80s. And it was just a small kind of block party, close off Atwood Avenue.
Yeah.
And they've been doing it for a long time. And in 2000, it got rained out. And after that rain out, they missed another year. And they were kind of down and not sure what would happen with the festival. And that's the year somehow they came across me and said, hey, would you go through all these cassette tapes and listen to these bands and see which ones would be good? Man. So I thought, you know, sure. So and we started the rock stage there. And that eventually led to 2013 with a change of the host of the festival, the benefactors. And I was, I think, the only person to keep going on with the festival. And now it's called Atwood Fest. And the Barrymore Theater, the Sassy Neighborhood Organization here in Madison, and then Sector 67 are nonprofits that are the benefactors of the festival. So it's a fundraiser. And we closed off Atwood Avenue from Tex Tubbs in Madison on the east side, all the way down to Monty's, and there's three stages, 30 bands over 2 days.
That is incredible. Do you live in that area?
I live over more on the north side, but okay. I'm actually a realtor with Reuchert Realtors Lake Point, which is right there, right on in the middle of Atwood Fest.
I can't even keep, like, I look at the state news, I can't even believe all the stuff that goes on in Atwood. It must be almost a bummer to live there, because every time you look outside, there's some festival or some cool thing happening.
Well,
there's must be exhausting.
You know, there's Festyland, which is there's five Madison festivals, Orton Park, Marquette Waterfront, La Fête de Marquette, which already happened, and then Willie Street Fair and Atwood Fest. And it's just amazing in Madison that we have so many festivals.
Yeah.
And Atwood Fest is really, you know, just a great pure music festival. I mean, we shut down the street and there's Vendor Alley. So there's arts and crafts and food vendors galore. And then there's three stages, one in the middle, one in each end of the street. And about, I think, around 50,000 people show up for the whole weekend.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible. Rocker is here. He's one of the co-hosts of Max Inc. Radio here on WMBX with Terry Barr, who is with us on Friday nights for Barr Band Friday Night. When we come back after the news, we're going to give you a little teaser of some of the music you can hear at this year's Atwood Fest, which is happening this weekend, correct? Saturday and Sunday?
That's right. July 26th and 27th.
Outstanding. So we'll hear some music. We'll talk about the food. It's a beautiful time. Some great East Side vibes at Atwood Fest. We're going to do all of that after the news. Rocker is here in studio. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let me tell you what you can do with my love. Oh.
This is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Harvard University appearing in federal court Monday, challenging the $2.5 billion in federal research money President Trump has pulled from Harvard's budget. Kristen Weld, speaking, president of the American Association of University Professors, speaking outside the court, says it's an attempt at government control of the nation's oldest and arguably most prestigious university.
The government wants to tell students what they can and cannot learn, what questions they can and cannot ask, who they can and cannot aspire to be.
The Trump administration says the funding cuts are due to a change in federal priorities. The nation still shocked at the death of Malcolm Jamal Warner, the best known for playing the Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show. He was caught in a rip current while swimming off Costa Rica. The former Louisville police officer convicted of violating Breonna Taylor's civil rights, sentenced to 3.5 years in prison. The Justice Department had asked for a one-day prison sentence. This is ABC News.
Football starts tomorrow. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, Packers training camp beginning tomorrow morning at 10:30 with the first of 11 practices open to the public, 3 preseason games, followed by the 17-game regular season schedule. The Packers signing right tackle Zach Tom to a 4-year deal, including a signing bonus of over $30 million, the most ever for an offensive lineman. NBA, Chris Paul will join the LA Clippers and Brooke Lopez. The Bucks had shown interest in Paul earlier this summer. Baseball, the Brewers and Mariners again tonight in Seattle. The Brewers with a 6-0 win over the Mariners last night, their 11th win in a row. How did they go from fourth place to right now the best record in baseball?
I think you got to understand that this is a bunch of people that, you know, have gotten to this point and just kept clawing away. You know, they're hungry. I'm really, really proud of them, but we got work to do to improve in every area we can. But we can at least feel like we're capable.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're in the Madison area and looking for a cool event, check out the annual Atwood Fest. This amazing music festival features 3 stages, great food, and great East Side vibes. Saturday, you can catch bands like Rare Element, Mama Dig Down's Brass Band, love that name, American Scarecrows, and Madison favorites VO5. Sunday features local favorites like Steely Dan, the Jeremiah Jams Band, and the Mark Hembree Bluegrass Band. Atwood Fest takes place, you guessed it, in Madison's Atwood Hood this Saturday, July 26th from noon to 10 p.m., and Sunday, the 27th from noon to 7:30. Who doesn't love a Cinderella story, especially when it's literally a Cinderella story? Disney is in the works for a new take on the classic Rodgers and Hammerstein story of the overworked Cinderella. The new look will be told from the standpoint of the godparents. Jennifer Lopez is attached as an executive producer, but there is no cast attached yet. The original Cinderella dropped in 1957 with Julie Andrews playing the title character. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of isolated thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. It's going to be muggy today with a high near 90 and a heat index near 100. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. It's going to be hot and humid tomorrow with a high near 94. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by State Senator Kristen Dasler-Alfheim. We talk biennial budget, the uncertainty over Governor Evers' second run, and how progressives and Democrats move forward in unity here in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, this is Adam Brody, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down the night shift.
Welcome back. So funny, I was just talking about Adam Brody with my producer friend Bob on the way down to Madison today. So well picked, Conrad. What put you in an Adam Brody mood?
I felt like we haven't heard that one in a while, you know?
Yeah, no, that was a good one.
Got a shout out because he just got nominated for a show.
Yeah, for an Emmy, right?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. So great to have you with me here. We've got a half hour to go, and our pal Rocker is in studio. We're talking about Atwood Fest, this great musical festival that happens here in the Atwood neighborhood of Madison every year. It's been around since the 80s, you said, Rocker?
Yeah, since the early 80s. Geez. 82, I believe.
Okay.
And it was called Atwood Summerfest first, and now it's called Atwood Fest.
I love it. And it's such a great neighborhood, too. I love the Barrymore Theater, and there's just so much cool stuff going on there. So let's do a little preview here of what people can hear if they decide to venture out over to the east side.
Yeah, you know, let me start with saying that, you know, Atwood Fest, we've went full high tech now, and we have AI. We actually have an AI guide on our website. So tonight you're going to hear a lot of bands, a lot of dates, you know, a lot of stages and times. You're not going to really remember them, but just remember this, to go to AtwoodFest.com. And at AtwoodFest.com, you can click on the artificial intelligence guide and ask a question. You know,
oh, I love that.
Like, you know, what blues bands are playing, or when is VO5 playing, or where can I find fried chicken?
You're putting AI to good use rather than making it a creepy movie thing. So that's
right.
That's,
you know, you can ask all these fact questions. Where right. can I find an AED unit? You know,
yeah.
if there's a cardiac arrest happening, right?
Jeez,
so it's by Freely, and we thank Jorge Reina. He put that together and covered that. Yeah. So I'm going to kind of just skip across some of the bands that are playing that you can hear coming up at Atwood Fest. There's some that are local, national, and you know, international touring artists. We have a little bit of everything. One band that I thought was really unique this year, opening the festival on Sunday, July 27th, on the Luther stage at noon. This is a Madison ska fusion band. They're called One Beer Please, and this is their song, Money, Money, Money.
Seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. Money, money, money must be funny.
That's One Beer Please and the song Money, Money, Money. What did you call that? Fusion?
Ska.
Ska Fusion.
Ska Fusion.
I love that.
Yeah, they're really fun. I thought this is going to be a great band to like kind of open up the festival day.
Yeah.
Just with a lot of energy. One Beer Please. Later on that day, that's Sunday on the Luther Allison stage, there's also Wonder Funk, Jeremiah Jams Band from Appleton, and Dem Test Fay Band from here in Madison. We'll talk about some of that stuff later. There is another great band that is coming, Parker Barrow. They are on the Clyde Stubblefield stage at 4 p.m. on Sunday, July 27th. Now, Parker Barrow, you might remember Clyde Barrow, Bonnie Parker, right?
No ways.
Well, this is Megan Kane and Dylan Turner. They're the couple, right? He's the drummer. She's the lead singer. And they're originally from Birmingham, Alabama. and they're stationed in Nashville. So we brought them out last year, and they put on an amazing show. It's kind of a little country-ish and a lot of Led Zeppelin-ish and really good.
That's interesting. All right, let's hear it.
This band, you have to go see some of the YouTube videos. You'll be like, wow, these guys are incredible. This is Parker Barrow and their latest song. It's called Make It.
You said Led Zeppelin with country. I guess I get that now. I wasn't sure what to expect there.
Aren't they good?
Yeah.
I love them. And she is just a wild entertainer. They're very entertaining.
Yeah.
Great band. And let's move out to the Clyde Stubblefield stage again. This is Saturday night, right before VO5. We have a world-class 9-piece funk horn band, Fat Function. They are totally amazing. Nice. I've tried to get them at Adwood Fest for many years, and with so many guys in the band and they don't all live around here, it's tough to get them together. So this is going to be a very special show right before VO5 on the Clyde stage Saturday at 5:15 p.m. Tons of Madison All-Stars in this band. And this is from their song, I think from 2015, I want to say. This is Well Run Dry. This is Fat Function.
Fat Function. That's a great name.
Fat Function. They wow. are really good. It features John Shipper on trumpet. He's a world-class trumpeter from around here in Madison. And Paulie Ryan, who actually played with Garbage, played with U2 on their recordings,
wow.
and all kinds of people over at Smart Studios. A whole bunch of Al Falashi from Steely Dan. Just a great lineup of musicians.
That's the voice of Rocker. He is here to give us a preview of Atwood Fest, which he is heavily involved with, and he is the co-host of Max Inc. Radio, which you can hear Saturday nights from 6 to midnight here on WMDX if you live in the Madison area. And we're talking about Atwood Fest, which takes place this Saturday and Sunday. We talked about this next band, VO5, because they're crowd favorite, and they are so much fun.
You know, I mean, I bet you there'll be 5,000-6,000 people in front of the stage on Saturday
wow.
night at 8 p.m. for VO5. You know, I love telling this story, but I was it was probably 2008, and I was Halloween, and my wife and I were dressed up as Padme and Darth Rocker, and we walked into this bar up here in Madison on the square, the Frequency, a little teeny stage, and there was this huge band, and they were all dressed as angels with halos and everything, and they were playing 70s classic disco, and my wife loves to dance to that kind of music,
yeah.
and we're there for a while dancing, and she's like, you know, you have to book these guys for Atwood Summerfest. You have to put them on the rock stage. I'm like, the rock stage? Disco? What? And I put them on at noon. and people showed up to dance. And then the next year, I put them on at 2, and more people showed up to dance. And then I put them on at 5, and more people showed up, right? And pretty soon, we just had this giant crowd, this meta community experience of people dancing and laughing and having fun. Dancing in the streets, it's been amazing for the band, and they're just coming up on their 20-year anniversary now as a band. So they've been playing at Woodfest since 2008, I believe, was the first time that we had them. And they're now the undisputed heavyweight headliners. So let's take a listen. This is VO5, one of their original songs from Dance Originality. This is I Can Feel It.
All right. I actually don't have that song record. I don't think I have that one sent.
Oh, my goodness. Did I not give you my I Can Feel It tune? Well,
I want to tell you, though, I will vouch for what Rocker just said. VO5, I've seen them play the Wisconsin Film Festival opening night parties, and people love them.
Oh, yeah.
So go to Atwood Fest and have a great time, and definitely check out VO5.
The dancers. Well, we better have Paige Kleber. I'm pretty sure I
got
this
one. Do we have Paige?
Yes, we do have Paige Kleber.
Paige is going to be, she's going to be playing the Sugar Maple stage noon on Sunday. Paige just turned 12 years old, right?
She's getting up there.
She's been singing the national anthem at the Badgers games, at the Bucks games. She's just really doing a lot of great stuff these days. Let's hear one of her songs. This is Paige Kleber playing Hard to Get, Sugar Maple stage noon on Sunday, July 27th.
She's fun. She's got great energy. 12 years old.
And she just won both the Madison Area Music Awards and the Wisconsin Area Music Industry Awards for the Rising Star.
That is unbelievable. When she was here, I was like, how do you know about all the stuff you're singing about at that age? This is incredible.
Isn't it incredible?
So Conrad just told us we do have the VO5 song. Do you want to do that?
Oh, let's hear it. Let's just hear it right away. We heard all about VO5. This is I Can Feel It.
All right.
It's a dream, and I can feel it. It's a dream, and I can feel it. I am alive, and I have arrived, and I can feel it. It's a dream, and I can feel it. It's a dream, and I can feel it. I am alive, and I have arrived, and I can feel it.
All right, that was VO5, an original, which is very cool.
Yes.
Rocker is here. He is one of the hosts of Max Inc. Radio with our pal Terry Barr. You can hear them from 6 to midnight every Saturday night here on WMDX. We're talking about the Madison's Atwood Music Festival, and we'll get back into that after this very short break with our in-studio guest and my pal Rocker. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. You got the Civic Media Radio Network.
I wish every day the sun would shine. Take me to another place in my life.
As Wisconsin as cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table.
Kaylee High from Staley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes. Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
This is Nightlight with Peach Waba. Great to have you with me as we hit our closing moments here. Tomorrow night on the show, we've got another great round of guests, Jordan Leon and Amy Mazzariello, owners of the Lion's Mouth Bookstore in Green Bay, will be here. And Green Bay comedian Kristen Leidy will be here to talk about a really cool event coming up. So that's tomorrow night on Nightlight with Peach Waba. Live from Madison again. Conrad, you're going to miss me by the end of the week. I know it. You son of a... Steady Eddie, our last text of the night says, Pete, speaking of wieners and hot dogs, what did the Buddhist monk say to the New York hot dog vendor? Make me one with everything. That's Buddhism humor, rocker. Thank you, Steady. You never know what you're going to get from Steady Eddie. So thank you, sir. Thank you for all your texts. Thank you to John Roach for coming into the studio tonight. Great fun talking with John. We've got a few minutes left with my current guest here, Rocker, and my pal who is the host of, I said earlier, Maxic Radio, 6 to midnight on Saturday. That is now 6 to 9 p.m. So check it out. Yeah. Tune in. Great show here on WMDX. And you can also check out the podcast as well, too, at civicmedia.us. So got a few more minutes with Rocker. We're talking about Atwood Fest acts that you can check out this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at this great music festival here in Madison. So who should we
I'm gonna answer your question though. Quick, right? Okay. Which is what's your favorite junk food?
Yeah I
was gonna say,
did I not ask you that?
Okay. Culver's fries dipped in vanilla shake.
There's another one, Conrad, with the
it, you know,
I don't get with the dairy.
Good. It's so good, that Culver's fries especially.
You know what's worse though, my wife one time dipped a fry in my chocolate milkshake from Culver's. Yeah. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No, we're not doing that.
Or, you know what, in mashed potatoes and gravy.
A fry?
A fry in mashed potatoes and gravy. You wouldn't believe it.
That I could see. They're all potatoes, right? People eat fries and gravy. That one, I could. That makes sense to me.
Oh, well, hey, let's get back to Atwood Fest then. And quick, go to a band that I think that people are really going to enjoy that they might not have heard of yet. Maybe up north. They're Jeremiah Jams Band. They're from Appleton.
Love that name.
They it's him and his wife, and they jam. Two drummers, real jam band. Let's listen to a little bit of them. This is Dancing in Your Soul, Jeremiah Jams Band from Appleton.
There's a twinkle.
Jeremiah Jams Band, Dancing in Your Soul. That's a sneak preview of Atwood Fest. Some of the music you can hear this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, in the Atwood neighborhood here in Madison. Three stages, 30 bands, 2 days. Kids Fest. Don't bring puppers. No pets.
No. Well, pets
I can't believe
allowed.
That's happening in Madison. It seems like,
well, crazy. You know, it's in the street,
I get
right?
It, though. Yeah.
It's in the street, so it's not in a park. And right. You know, that pavement gets hot, and it's especially looks like it's going to be pretty hot this weekend. So.
I love this. And every one of these bands you've played so far, I can almost see people dancing and getting funky in Atwood. So that's awesome. All right. So what do we got? We could probably get one more in here at least, right?
Oh, okay. Hey, let's try Adem Tesfaye. He's going to be headlining the Luther Allison stage 6 p.m. Sunday, Adem July Tesfaye. 27th. He's just an amazing artist. He was with Black Poet Society. He moved out to New York, and during the pandemic, he was in Madison. When the lockdowns came, he ended up just staying back here. He's from Madison.
Oh, nice.
So a high school star, basketball player from West when they won the championship. He's really just an amazing artist, and he's going to be with his full band. This is Adem Tesfaye, Pressure.
All right.
This one I can actually, I cannot find.
Can you sing it for us, Conrad?
Yeah, do you know the lyrics? All right, let's skip over Kelsey Miles, Save My Soul. She went here to the UW-Madison, got her doctorate degree in chemistry, left that off to do music, then decided to move to Kansas City to become a professor at the university there. But she's still in a band, and she's coming back here to Madison to play at Atwood Fest. Do we have Save My Soul?
Yes, we do.
All right.
We lights too bright, and now I'm afraid I'm a slave to the song that paves my way. And again, everything I'm known when it feels so strange. Let me tell you something now. I'm a stranger to myself.
That was Kelsey Miles, Professor Kelsey
That's
Miles.
That's right. Isn't that crazy? Save My Soul. That song was her about music saving her soul.
Oh, man.
When she was, you know, lost in doctorate degrees in chemistry and just she's
something
an amazing person.
I cannot relate to in any way, shape, or form. Check out Atwood Music Festival. Rocker, thank you so much for being here.
Oh,
tonight.
Thank
Always
you.
Always fun to connect with you, buddy.
Yeah, just remind people, go to AtwoodFest.com to see the full live music schedule, vendor alley,
great
food
website.
Alley, Yeah.
Absolutely. And you see the food, everything there. Thank you so much. Thank you to John Roach. Thank you all your, all texters, callers, listeners, everybody. It was a great show here from downtown Madison. One last text here. Luke Mathers, our pal from Civic Media here, says, I'm a sucker for some nerd rope clusters. So tasty. Those and sweet chili Doritos. There's some red dye 40 for you. We're coming back.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Shock and sadness surrounding the death of a man we saw grow up on television.
Tributes are pouring in for actor Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Be right there.
Who charmed TV audiences for years as the lovable Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show. Police say the 54-year-old died in an accidental drowning off Costa Rica's Caribbean coast, where he was reportedly on a family vacation. Investigators say Warner got caught in a strong current while swimming, and that beachgoers tried to rescue him, but it was too late by the time first responders reached him.
That's ABC's Victor Oquendo. The sheriff of Jacksonville, Florida, is defending the violent arrest of a black driver who was punched and beaten by two sheriff's deputies. A video of the arrest by the suspect, 22-year-old William McNeil, has gone viral. The sheriff claims McNeil had been told several times to leave his car. McNeil's lawyer disputes that. Harvard University in federal court Monday, fighting back against $2.5 billion in funding pulled by the Trump administration. This is ABC News.